Psalm 37 for our message today, the 37th Psalm, one of my favorite Psalms in all the Bible. I certainly thank God for the precious Word of God and the privilege we have to be able to open our Bibles and to be able to hear what God has for us. Psalm 37, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither at the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness at the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your glory. Thank you for being a great and wonderful God. Thank you for the wonderful privilege given us as a people to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. We ask that you would meet with us in a very special way. I pray that you would minister to every heart. I pray that you'll meet every need. I pray that if there be a man, woman, boy, or girl here who's never been saved by the grace of God, I pray you'll prick that heart in a very special way today. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take me as your servant. I ask that you would cleanse me of any sin, then empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to these thy people, and we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that's due your holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I'm sure that you would agree with me that we live in the day of the troubled heart. We face so many different circumstances in life that keeps us in turmoil. I don't know if there's been a time in 75 years of my life that I can recall that I've had more sleepless nights than the past 17 months. As a matter of fact, it was 17 months ago today that we had our last regular service where we heard the wonderful choir singing, and we heard things that were a little different, the handshaking and the hugging and all of that. And without a doubt, someone who talks to people on a regular basis, someone who receives a lot of text messages, a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, the average man, woman, boy, or girl, including yours truly here, we live in the day of the troubled heart. There's always something that is happening today that kind of keeps us in turmoil. It's not a few people, and a matter of fact, it's not just the lost people in the world. It's the God-fearing people that we are facing sometimes that we've never faced before. David the psalmist, who penned this psalm, was used to having difficult times. As a matter of fact, we're talking about the man who was after God's own heart. We're talking about a man who was a giant killer. We're talking about the sweet psalmist. We're talking about the great musician. We're talking about the one who took on Goliath. We're talking about one who was the greatest of all the kings of the nation of Israel. David found himself trouble from time to time. He was anointed to be the next king of the nation of Israel. Instead of just going to the throne, he found himself hiding in a cave, or he found himself running. He found himself living in the wilderness. He found himself being accused. There were all kinds of attitudes. There were attacks against him, attempts against his life. Now, David was a powerful man. He had a lot of things going on. He had 600 of the bravest men that ever lived. That 600 a man army could take on thousands and win the battles. David was anointed to be the next king. He had every right to go in and take over. But there's something amazing about him. He didn't use his power to take care of the situation. He didn't use his army to fight the battles. David came to a point in his life with all the attitudes and all the attempts and all the attacks and all the things against him. He found something that he needed, I need, and every child of God needs today. Look, if you would, in verse number 7, I want you to notice something the psalmist said. He said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." David, there are some attitudes out there to deal with. David, there are some attempts against your life. David, there are some attacks trying to destroy you. David, there are some accusations against you. David, are you going to use your power as a king? David, will you use your army to take care of it? David, you're a mighty man. How are you going to handle these circumstances? He said, "I learned something." He said, "Rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." You know what he's saying? Better than my army, better than all the knowledge I have, better than what I'm able to do, there's something that the God that I serve has provided for me. And that is, he wants me to rest. Turn it all over to him. Rest in the Lord and let him take care of this situation, every situation. He can handle every attitude. He can handle every accusation. He can handle every attempt upon my life. He can handle every attack against me. I've found someone who knows all, sees all, can do all. And I've decided something. I'm just going to rest in the Lord and let him take care of my situation. Now, David was talking about the attacks of his enemies, and there were plenty. All the accusations against them, and they were there. His own son had turned against him. He was facing all kinds of things in life, but he learned something that I want to learn. He learned something we all need. There's nothing God cannot handle. You may not have someone coming after you with a spear or a sword. You may not have the enemies attacking you. But somewhere out there, there's trouble brewing. And there's a God in heaven that says, "You're my child. Rest belong to you. I want you to live in a troubled world with a calm mind and a calm spirit. I simply want you to come to the point in your life, in my life, where you will simply rest, 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 turn it all over to the Lord and wait patiently for him to handle the situation." I want to talk about that for a few moments. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wish I could stand here and say, "I got this. I figure this out." If that were the case, I wouldn't have sleepless nights. I wouldn't have some of the things that we go through all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to live in this world without your mind focusing on things that bring you to a point in life where you're in turmoil. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Money won't solve it. Intellect won't solve it. Perfect help won't solve it. But there's a God in heaven that's simply saying, my child, rest is something I have for you. It wasn't in David's army. It wasn't in David's kingship. And let me tell you something. It's not going to be in what you have and I have. It's still where it's always been, in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I've read this many, many times. It's been a great psalm that I've always loved. And I found out that before you get to verse number 7, there's some steps you have to take through verses 1 through 6. You know, rest in the Lord is not automatically. Just because you claim Jesus as your Savior, you go to a good Bible-believing church, you read your King James Bible, you pray every day, doesn't mean that you're resting in the Lord. It takes some steps to get there. It doesn't happen automatically. God has given us a plan. God has given us a pattern that no matter who you may be, where you may be in life, and what may be happening to you, there's a God in heaven that says, I've got something for you that's called rest. Rest, a calm mind, a calm spirit, peace in the midst of a storm. I have it for you. I've designed it for my child. I want you to have it, but I want you to have it, and I want you to wait patiently for me. In other words, I want you to bring that to me. Put aside your efforts, your attempts, your ability. Roll it all over to me and wait patiently until I take care of it. Now let's look at this, these steps. How do I get there? How do you take your troubled heart where you are? How do you take what you're going through right now that keeps you awake at night, keeps you praying and falling on your knees, keeps you trying to find something to help you calm that thing that doesn't seem to go away? God says, I've got rest for you. But you got to take the steps necessary to get there. How do I find this rest that God has for me as a child of God? Well, step number one, look at verse, what he says in verse 1. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs. He was saying, fret not. In other words, he says, don't find yourself vexed or discouraged or defeated or agitated or all of these things that go along with fretting. He says, fret not. And David is talking about evildoers, people who were trying to destroy him. But let's forget about people trying to destroy us. Let's say the Bible says, fret not, don't you be agitated, don't you be distracted, don't you be disappointed, don't you be discouraged, don't you be defeated, don't you be vexed by anything that's caused, listen to me, by others. If I were to take a look at my life today, and the most time that I'm divided or agitated or hurt or going through things, it's because of what I'm thinking about others. Others. He said, let me tell you something. If you're going to rest in the Lord, you fret not because of others. I came up with what I called the three W's of fretting. Now, you can put a lot of things with the word fret: agitated, causes you not to sleep well, causes you to think wrong. Fretting is what is brought about that disturbs you or gets you worked up or gets you sleepless because of others. If you're going to rest in the Lord, if I'm resting in the Lord, whatever somebody else does is not going to cause me to be agitated or troubled in my heart and mind. He said, fret not because of others. The three W's of fretting. Here's where fretting comes from. W number one, worrying about what somebody else has done. You want to go sleep at night, you better take your mind off to what you're thinking about, what somebody else said, what somebody else did, what somebody else is doing, or what somebody else will do. He said, fret not. Don't worry about what others have done. Why not? Rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him to deal with it. W number one, worrying about what others have done. Fret not because of evildoers. W number two, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Not only are we not to worry about what others have done, but we're to stop wishing we had what others have. I wish I had that. I wish I didn't have this. I wish I were like him. I wish I were like them. And what do? You fret about it. Become agitated, disturbed, vexed, disappointed, hurt, wondering what will happen if it were you, if you had this or you had that. He said, rest in the Lord. Stop worrying about what others have done. Stop wishing you had what others had. And the third W, stop wondering why it happened. I can't tell you how many times I've wondered why my son, my pastor, got COVID. Why couldn't it have been me? Why couldn't it have been somebody else? After all, for 45 years, I've served the Lord. I try to be as faithful as I can be. And if I'm not careful, I'll find myself wondering why this happened to him, or why it happened to Pastor Mike, or why it happened to our church, or why. God says, stop fretting about it and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for me to handle. And I'll tell you something, as bad as things have been these 17 months, there have been so many good things that this great and wonderful God has done. And the last thing in the world I want to be fretting, worrying about what somebody else has done. Can you imagine lying in bed after you had a conversation and somebody offended you, and you get in bed and you're just lying there worrying about what they said and wondering if you should have said it differently? And in the meantime, you're losing sleep, losing rest. Stop worrying about what others have done. Stop wishing you had what others had, and stop wondering why it happened to you or didn't happen to you. Rest. Rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So the first step is fret not because of other people. If we're honest this morning, I'll bet almost every person in here can find something you've been fretting about that somebody else has done. You know who the loser? You. Me. We ought to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not because of others. That's the first step. Step number two, verse three. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I not only need to get to the point where I fret not because of others, but I need my faith to be in the Lord. Now listen to what he says. He says, put your Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. This the idea here is an abiding reliance upon a God that I know, who knows all, sees all, who's aware of all, and who is directing my life. If I'm going to rest in the Lord, I've got to take my situation, whatever it may be, how difficult it may appear to be, I'm not going to fret about it. I'm simply going to put my trust in the Lord. I'm going to abide in Him and let Him take control of the situation. Put my trust in the Lord. And then he says, I need to prove that trust and do good. Do good. David here is referring to somebody who treated him bad, but the idea, if I'm trusting in the Lord, I'm going to do good. I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure out how to take care of that situation. I'm going to rest in the Lord. Put my trust in Him. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Do right. Live right. Serve right. Be right. Honor the Lord. Why? I'm resting. Resting in the Lord. And then he says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know, the land here refers to the promised possession. Let me remind us of something that we tend to forget. This old wicked earth is not our home. You ever think in the midst of your trouble or the midst of your circumstance, just pause for a second and say, this is not my home. I'm just passing through here. I've got a home that's laid up in glory, prepared by the hands of Almighty God. What am I fretting about? This is just a temporary place. And by the way, heaven's our home in glory forever. But wherever I am on earth, whatever I'm going through in life, I have the presence of God. He walks through every valley. He's there in every storm. He's our help. He's our strength. So when trouble comes, and it seems to come often now, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry about others. I'm not going to wish I had others. I'm not going to wonder why it happened to me. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord, and I'm going to prove that I'm trusting Him, because in the midst of my trouble, I'm still going to do good. I want to share a verse with you that I have shared hundreds of times over the years. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is one of the most powerful passages you'll find any place in the Bible when you are going through trouble. Verse number 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Hold your finger back here in Psalms. We'll go back there. For the eyes of the Lord. Verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears or eyes unto their ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I like this. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, I like this, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Who says? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. If I just determine, no matter what's going on in life, I'm going to do right, there's a God in heaven who sees everything that is going on. And here's a promise he makes to the child of God in the midst of trouble who's doing wrong. Do right. Do right in spite of the trouble. Do right if someone's doing wrong. Do right no matter what's going on. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And who is he that's going to harm you? Who is he that God's watching? And if you suffer in doing right, happy are ye. Now, the last time I checked out me, it's not easy to be happy when things are not going right. But God says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and if I do right when things are not going right, he will make me happy. Wow. What a passage. And the psalmist is saying here, if you put your trust in the Lord, and if your trust is really there, you're really trusting in him who sees all, made all, made you, saved you, walked with you, talked with you. If that's where my trust is, then prove it by doing right. And then the Bible says, in the presence of me doing that, he's going to be there. Why? I'm resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him. Number three, very quickly. Fret not. That's the first step. Put your faith in the Lord. That's the second step. Step number three, delight. Verse 4, Psalms 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I need to fret not because of others. My faith needs to be in the Lord. Then I need to feast upon his word. You know, delighting in the Lord means delighting in his word. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Job put it this way, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, in Job 23:12. If I'm going to rest in the Lord, I fret not because of others. My faith is in the Lord, but I'm going to feast on his word. I must delight in his word. And if I delight in his word, he'll give me the desires of my heart, which will be the will of God. There's no way in the world today for any child of God to make it without feasting on the word of God. Thank God that of all the things that we've gone through in this pandemic, one of the things that most of us have had more time is to feast on this book. Thank God for the Bible. I can't tell you the times that I've turned through this Bible in the last 17 months and God has given me something, something that's made a difference in my life in this situation. And the psalmist said, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to rest in the Lord. Let him take care of my situation. In order to do that, fret not. Fret not. Don't worry about what others have done, are doing, or will do. Don't get agitated about it. Don't get off track because of it. Don't let it cause you not to sleep at night. Stop worrying. Stop wishing. Wishing you had what they had. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what position in life they may have. I don't care how much freedom they seem to have. Don't you start wishing you had that if God hadn't given that to you. Don't wonder why it's happening to you and not to somebody else. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Put your trust in the Lord. My faith needs to be there. I'm going to grab this book and I'm going to feast on it. I'm going to feast on it daily. It's going to be my necessary food. God's going to talk to me through his book. I talk to him on my knees. He talks to me when I read this book. I'm going to feast on it, not just read it, feast on it. So if I fret not, put my faith in the Lord, and I feast on his word, then the last step, number four, that will get me to verse number seven is verse number five. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The last step is follow his leading. If I fret not, my faith is in the Lord. I'm feasting on his word. The only thing left for me to do in my troubled times is to follow his leading. He says, first of all, there ought to be commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord. You know what he's saying? Take your situation and roll the whole thing over to him. That's commitment. God, I'm not going to fret about it. My faith is in you. I'm feasting on your word. You've told me what I ought to do. You've given me your will. I'm going to follow you. Therefore, I'm going to commit this thing to you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Then I'm going to have confidence of what I've done. Trust also in him. What I commit to you, I'm going to have a confidence to trust you. And when I do that, he continues on and says, notice how he'll care for you. And he shall bring it to pass. Commitment, confidence, care from him. He'll take care of that. And then he said in verse number six, where does it lead you to? Commitment, confidence, his care leads to what I need, contentment. I need contentment in my heart. And verse number six says this, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And he's talking about it. David is talking about how his enemies were attacking him, and he turned it over to the Lord. And he's simply saying this, if I commit the case to him, then he will clear my name completely. I don't need my army. I don't need my kingship. I don't need any power. I'm trusting in the Lord. I've committed it to him. I have confidence he'll take care of it. He shows how much he cares. And over here where I'm having the most trouble, I've got contentment. Why? Because verse number seven, he says, I'm resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him. Then he mentions that thing, that fretting again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. When I rest in the Lord, there is never a reason to ever fret about anything I'm going through in life. We, as pastors and Christians who've been saved for a long time, when oftentimes you all come to a church service and you hear a message for 30, 35 minutes or 20 minutes or however long it is, and you go home, you close up your Bible, and that's about it for you, if whatever you do with your family. We don't have that privilege. When you've been around for 45 years, you always get a text message or a phone call or an email. Somebody, somewhere in this world is troubled. The heart is divided. sleepless nights, someone sick, or lost their job, or lost a loved one, or trouble about something, and they need some advice to help them. You can tell yourself all you want to about what you've done or what you've heard and all of that. But resting in the Lord takes a little bit more than just saying, I'm going to rest in the Lord. Because you and I will be confronted with things to deal with all the time. So we've got to come to the point that we start stepping up the ladder to a place where I can truly roll it over to the Lord completely. And then wait patiently for him to take care of it. You know, David could have killed Saul. He had two opportunities to do that, but he didn't. His 600 men could have whipped Saul's army and taken over the throne. He didn't have to run and hide in a cave. Saul's son was his closest friend. He had the opportunity to take matters in his own hands at any time. But he says, there's something greater than my army. There's a God that I serve. And he says, I'm not going to fret because of others. My faith is in the Lord. I'm going to feast on his word. I'm going to follow his leading. And I found when I got there that old troubled heart and that fear and the things I was going through in life. I just rolled it over to him, waited patiently for him, and guess what? He took care of the situations, and all the praise and all the honor and all the glory goes to him. I don't know what you're fretting about today. Don't know what you're going through today. Don't have a quick answer. But this book says there are steps I can take that I can take my personal situation, no matter what it is, I can take it to the Lord and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And you know what? He'll take care of the situation where we don't have to fret about what's going on in life, because he will handle my case. Let's bow our heads.